You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
My favorite operations and cleaning tool. Come on, everyone. You know what it is by now. It's Breezeway. It just got a whole lot better for Airbnb hosts.
Breezeway's platform has always helped hosts manage work like cleaning, maintenance, and inspections at their properties. But now their technology is integrated with Airbnb, which means you can connect your Airbnb reservation info with Breezeway, helping you save even more of your precious time, like automatically notifying your cleaners on a new reservation or changes to an existing reservation.
You can use Breezeway to schedule cleaning, inspections, and maintenance tasks using smart checklists and automated messaging to maintain a consistent guest experience.
Connect your Airbnb guest reviews with individual tasks in Breezeway. For example, fridge stopped working and the guest mentioned it in your review, a Breezeway maintenance task will help you make sure it gets fixed as soon as possible.
Respond to guest messages all in one platform. Hosts can now view and respond to Airbnb message threads within the Breezeway platform.
And that's not all. The Breezeway Guide is a personalized digital welcome book, and they also have Breezeway Assist, a 24-hour call service supplemented with Breezeway's AI-driven engine, are also connected through this Airbnb integration.
There are so many things that Breezeway can help you tackle, so check out Breezeway for yourself. TFE listeners will receive free implementation when you decide to make Breezeway a part of your hosting operational strategy, just like Annette and I have. Visit breezeway.io/TFE to learn more. That's breezeway.io/TFV. Hello, welcome back for another great episode. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. We're going to kick off this episode like we do every week, and that is sharing one of you, our amazing listeners, on our Instagram channel with our email subscribers and, of course, here on the podcast because you're using our hashtag #STRShareSunday. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
Okay, this week we are sharing at Stony Creek Hideaway, and Stony is Stoney. And I chose Stony Creek Hideaway because this architecture is amazing. It's a loft, and underneath is their outdoor area, and it is phenomenal. There's like a fireplace and a living area, and they built this specifically. I think it might be an event space too. I was trying to dig in a little bit more, but there is a wow factor here in this outdoor area. So I want everyone to take a peek at this design, and you can tell how the design goes from the outdoor to the indoor to the exterior living area. Like, everything is just very well designed. There is a vibe
on their Instagram, yes. Like with their photos. It's good.
So if you check it out, and the vibe is, wow, there's so much attention to detail, but also like, I want to go hang out there. It's moody, and it's brought it. They're really playing with the location too. So they're right on a ravine, right by the water. Well done. And like I said, the other thing that I really noted that was like insane is they have this amazing black tile throughout their bathroom, which again adds to the moodiness. But it is a studio. It's a one bed, one bath, and it is, I think, attached to an event space, which is really amazing. I'm thinking they have some guests, you know, that are participating there stay. But please check it out. I just really want you guys to pay attention to this outdoor area that they have. I'm swooning over it. So Stony Creek Hideaway, thank you so much for using our hashtag. And then Sarah, let's get onto the show.
Yeah. So we really want to hear it. Thanks for visiting. Really give you a holistic approach to everything that you're doing with your short-term rental. So you know that we talk about safety, right? Because we think that gets missed a lot on the airwaves or in blog posts. Safety is really important. Of course, real estate component, acquiring and all that kind of good stuff. But something we really haven't talked about is like, if you are buying all this stuff, consumables, right? Our guests use toilet paper, paper towels, soaps, shampoos, all that stuff. How are you buying those items? And are you really capitalizing on the purchase of those items? So today we have Kara, who is a trusted influencer on Instagram with over 47,000 followers. She shares tips and stories based on her own personal finance successes over the last 27 years. Those include being debt-free, including her mortgage, saving enough for both of her children's college educations, wow, and redeeming over $87,000 worth of travel points towards travel over the last 10 years. So Kara's going to help us do this, and she plans to retire in 5 years. So Kara, we cannot wait. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
We are pumped to have you here. I want to give a little bit of side note before you get into your like longer intro. So I follow Aunt Kara. That is her name on Instagram. So if you want to go check her out right now. And I have just been blown away at like how she uses her credit cards. And I will let everybody know, I have not been the smartest on like being strategic with credit cards or using those travel points. And I'll let everybody know, Sarah and I specifically, this new property we just bought and are buying tens of thousands of dollars of furniture and amenities, we did get a credit card. We're like, wait a second, we're getting ready to spend all this cash. Why not put it on a credit card? We already had the cash ready to pay that down. So this is kind of a selfish thing of like, we want to learn how to harness the power because it is strategic. There is, there's just planning that goes into it. But oh my gosh, I've watched Kara go to Hawaii. I've watched her like go on all of these family vacations and she totals it up and the total normally comes to zero. And I'm like, I want to go on that vacation for zero. So Kara, talk to our audience about how you got into this and how it's kind of transformed and how you're teaching other people now how to take advantage of this.
Sure. So I will let you know that I've had my Instagram account for several years now. And originally, I'm very financially focused, as you can tell by my bio, my overview. But I set this up for my nieces and nephews who are all now in their 20s to give them words of wisdom. We're very close, but now that they're grown up, they have busy lives. We don't see each other anymore. And I wanted to give them just some lessons of adulthood, and especially with money, because it's something that people, as we all know, don't like openly talk about a lot. And you can learn good lessons and bad lessons from friends and family. And when you're getting into, you know, your real jobs and real financial responsibilities with homes and kids and everything else, you know, it's like, who is teaching you, who is telling you and guiding you, you know, and what to do. And so they have always historically come to me and asked me questions. They respect me, and just, I thought, if I do this Instagram account and just push out some information, will you guys all follow me and listen? And they said, absolutely. I have seven nieces and nephews, a great nephew, another great nephew on the way. And so anyway, they all follow me on Instagram. I left my profile open. Lots of other people were interested, obviously, in listening. And it kind of morphed a little bit. I still talk plenty about, you know, financial responsibility and money mindset, but morphed into a lot of travel hacking content as well, which is something I have done for many, many, many years, but people became so interested in it. I was a little leery of posting too much about it because of the credit card aspect, right? My big thing is you have to be financially responsible to get into this world of travel hacking, points and miles, whatever you want to call it. And so I kind of like teased it out there. And then the DMs started coming in. Tell me more about that. How were you able to do that? And then as I share my life with everyone and I go on these vacations, I'm like, throw in the fact, I want to make people understand I didn't just spend $7,000 to go to Hawaii. I spent like $200 because of this hobby of mine. So, you know, I don't want to look like I contradict myself with like being responsible with money and you know, living beneath your means and then going on extravagant vacation. So I had to be fully transparent, right, with the way I was able to do this. And so the more questions that came, the more content I put out there. And so now, you know, especially in my Instagram stories, I put a lot of travel hacking content out there. So that's like the evolution of my account and where it came from. Now, my history is I've been working in information technology in corporate global companies for 27 years. that's been my career. I do it full time. But in my early years, I was actually an IT consultant for a very large company, and I traveled every single week, Monday through Friday. This is before remote working was even a thought in anyone's mind. I had to fly out to the client out of state, you know, every single week. And so that's where I learned, you know, and this was fresh out of grad school that I did this. I learned all about the concepts of travel loyalty programs. So I was consistently like staying at one hotel every single week. I had long-term projects and I was flying the same airline. And I realized this whole concept of points and miles. And our very first trip after I did, I was flying in and out of Chicago at that time to Philadelphia. And after that trip, I had enough points to cover our entire vacation to Hawaii, which for my husband and I, which, you know, we had never gone. It was like a dream vacation. It also helped keep me motivated because it's exhausting to travel every single week and leave your, I was only married for like a year at that time, you know, leave your husband and your dog. And, you know, it was lonely and sad. And I was like, okay, but we're going to get a free trip out of this. So I'm going to make it worth it. Besides the career advancement and all that good stuff. But that was my first introduction. United Airlines and Hilton Honors were my first two programs where I'm like, ooh, this point thing is pretty cool. So that was like 25 years ago. I mean, forever ago. And I did that for a while, did it for several years, and I earned points and miles the old-fashioned way by traditional travel. Mm-hmm. I only had one credit card. I got the Hilton Honors card. It was a no annual fee card, and that's the only card like I had at that time. And I still have that card today. So it's like 25 years old. And so then after I stopped traveling, we kind of took a break and, you know, I wasn't earning it that way. I wasn't into credit cards. We were all about debit cards, you know, just get the money out of our account. We were debt-free. We've been financially responsible really our entire adult life, thank goodness. And I was just like, oh, I'm not messing with credit cards. It's too complicated. Let's just, you know, stick with the debit card route. Then my kids come into the picture and traveling and paying for travel gets more expensive because you're paying for four people, not two people. And so we came up, especially when they were a little bit older and could remember and appreciate where we were going. I said, we got to figure out how to do this cheaper. And I knew because I, like, as more bloggers got out there talking about travel hacking, we understood that, you know, there was the concept of using credit cards to accumulate points instead. And so my husband and I always tag team our finances. Like I do the strategy and he does like the operational, you know, pays the bills, understands what's due when, helps with the budget, all that stuff. And so I said, are you ready to like go all in and get into the whole credit card world and ditch our debit card and start doing this, and what's our system going to be? I will tell you guys that in this day and age, it is so much easier to manage credit cards than when, you know, 20 some years ago, when you had to wait for your statement to come in the mail, or you had to call the customer service line to even know what your balance was. So, or, you know, pay early and understanding that like transferring money to, you know, from one account to another, paying online didn't exist. The fact that we have all of that, I feel like it's a whole new playing field for credit cards these days, because you can pay things as you go. You don't right. have to wait until the end of the month. So my husband said, absolutely, let's give it a shot. I said, if it doesn't work out, you know, we'll go back to the old way. I don't want to start spending differently or screw up our budget just because we're moving to the credit card model. And that was 10 years ago. So in 2012, we said, all right, let's go all in with credit cards. We had a lot of different travel goals in that particular year too, where I'm like, we got to figure out how to make this happen. And so we started signing up for credit cards, meeting minimum spend, getting the bonuses, scheduling the trips, and we got hooked. And then we were using credit cards on an ongoing basis for every expense we had that we could use cards for, always paying off at the end of the month. So we never were paying any kind of late fee, any kind of interest. The only fees we ever pay are annual fees. Mm. And with each card, we do an evaluation of like, do you hang on to this card? Is the annual fee actually worth it every year? What am I getting out of it? What perks? Are there credits? Am I earning enough to cover that expense. And, you know, we just evaluate each card for, you know, what it offers. And we said, we're just going to keep, you know, using these cards for different purposes and for different travel goals. And the rest is history. So, you know, I've got a log out there on Instagram that shows all the trips. I really did create this Excel spreadsheet 10 years ago. One day at my lunch break, I thought, I'm going to start tracking this since we're going all in to say, what is the monetary value of every single trip we're taking? So my approach was I would book a trip with the points. And after I booked it, I immediately searched the same exact itinerary, the same exact nights at the hotel, and marked, you know, checkbox cash instead of points, and said, okay, what would this exact room would have, you know, been, this exact itinerary, if I would have paid instead? And then I totaled it up, stuck it in my spreadsheet. And I've done that for 10 years. And that's where I've come up with this whole $87,000. I mean, it's not an estimate. It's like legit. So trip by trip. And I broke them out into years. Some years we do more travel than others. Obviously, the last couple of years have been quite interesting and not much travel in comparison to, you know, years prior. But so that's, you know, that's the way we've handled it. Like, that's the scope of what we have done. I'm a primarily domestic traveler. It's just because that's what my family wants to do, based on the length of time, you know, the breaks we have. My kids are in school. We haven't done international travel. I think we will more later, just haven't. So if anybody is out there and, you know, searching through my log, you'll see it's really all travel in the United States. There's, you know, a couple different trips in there, but primarily United States. So it's been an amazing thing. We've been able to save so much money. And when I see that people are interested, I want to educate, right? So I've put really in the last couple of years more content out there that actually instructed people how to do this. And there's a million ways to do it. There's tons of cards that you can use. I get that it's completely overwhelming. So the approach that I use is typically to come up with your travel goal before you sign up with your cards. And I do have a replay of a free webinar, live webinar that I did that's out there. You can get to it from my Instagram. It's on YouTube too, but it's like a private link. But if you go through my Instagram, you'll find it. And it's like 90 minutes.
We'll link to that, everyone, in the show notes. Yeah. So we'll do a direct link for you.
So it's a 90-minute overview of, you know, how you can get started and approach doing travel hacking. And then once you get into it, you'll realize, you know, you can repeat the cycle. You'll realize you have leftover points from different cards and programs you've signed up for, and you can build on those things long-term. But really strategizing based on what your travel goal is always like my number one advice, like my number one piece of advice to get started with, because it's just like with anything else. If you don't have a specific goal, you can really get off track and kind of do things blindly and wind up with points you can't use, not enough points for what you want to do. And then you just give up. You're not motivated. You can't track like how close you are. Like me, I like to like measure everything. So I want to know, you know, how much more do I need to do to get to what I want to, you know, get to where I want to be. And that includes with points and miles. So it's a really good resource out there for people. Another thing that I share with folks is the hot card offers. So, you know, people will ask me, what's the best card out there? And then I always turn around and say, well, what's your travel goal? Do you know the airlines that you use out of wherever you're based? Do you know what hotels are at the destination you're interested in traveling to? Because if I tell you the hot card is Delta Airlines right now, because they have an increased signup bonus, and then you're like, oh, okay, she told me that was the best airline card. And then you look and go, man, Delta doesn't even fly anywhere where I want to go.
Right.
That's a horrible airline for my airport, or they don't go to that city. I'd have to do three connections to get there. Then they're stuck with all these Delta points and they're like, yeah, that was a big mistake. And then they just wasted a credit card sign up. So that's why I've told people that you do need to think, you don't want to go into it blindly, but you don't need to know everything about every card, every program. You just need to focus on what is important to you, what your specific goal is. And you know, there will be options. It's not going to be like, well, there's just one airline and one hotel, but then you've narrowed down your options, which makes it a lot more comprehensible. It's not like you're trying to learn it all. Cause a lot of people come back to me, especially in my real life. And when I talk to people about it, they're like, sounds like too much to me, too complicated, too much. And I'm like, well, you know, if you try to learn it all, I don't even know it all. It's going to be. So I know I've gone on forever and ever, but I'm just trying to give you like this bigger picture of what it's all about and just how I got into it and that history.
Yeah. So we have some questions. So for our listeners, right now, Aunt Kara, do you put, I'm just always going to call you Aunt Kara, because that's how I've been like following you for years. You
have real life. We're now probably, my friends call me Aunt Kara, okay, too, that are my age. They think it's really funny.
Yeah, I'm like, we're probably close age. I'm still going to call you Aunt Kara. For our listeners, and even Sarah and I, because right now, let's say the property that we just purchased, like, do you put everything? Like, do you put, you know, if you're a utility, sometimes utility companies don't allow, but like, do you take a look and put every single thing on your cards? Like,
absolutely.
Everything.
And does it matter? I know sometimes, right, it's like, if you use it on gas or purchases it at Home Depot, you get this many points. But if you use it on food, it's this many points. I mean, does that work into your strategy too?
Yeah. So once you get started and you have multiple cards, then you do need to start thinking about, like, it's not just where I want to go and what airlines and what hotels are there. It's like, what type of expenses do I spend the most money on, and what are the best cards for those expenses? So like you mentioned, if you're someone who does a lot of driving and you spend a lot of money every month on gas going back and forth to maybe your properties or whatever it is, you want to make sure that you are always using a card that earns the most value for gasoline purchases, which can be an entirely different card than what you might use for your internet services at your home or your grocery bill or dining out. So, you know, I have, I'll say, 8 credit cards right now, probably. And so does my husband. He has another set because we always sign up separate. You've got to sign up separately so you can double your fun with your spouse or partner.
Oh, wait, hold on. Wait, this is a hot tip. So you should each have a separate,
separate
card, like a completely different account.
Absolutely.
Now, should you be a user on your partner's account,
or is that possible?
There's no need. Don't do that. Why?
Okay.
If you've
got
the card, yeah. In fact, in some situations, although they don't pull your credit report, there are some situations with certain banks like Chase that it counts towards how many cards you've signed up for, like in the last 24 months, which they limit that. It's called the 524 rule with Chase. And so even though you didn't sign up, but you were added to a card, it'll count against you. It doesn't count against your credit report.
It counts against your limit.
This whole how many cards you can get.
Okay.
So we are never authorized users on the other's card because there's just no point. But, you know, when you can get 2 signup bonuses, especially when they run these amazing increased offers, like you can get a ton of points in a short amount of time. And on also the other hot tip with this whole, you know, having both of you get cards is once one person signs up, they can get a referral link and you can refer your spouse.
Smart.
And then you get bonus points on top of whatever they get because they still get the same offer, but you get a little kickback too.
So that's almost like trip. Well, whatever.
Yeah, you don't get the full
sign
up, but you get a good chunk.
Yeah.
You know, say the Chase Sapphire Preferred is the hot card right now. I talk about it daily. So it's a Chase card. It's a very flexible point redemption program. It is my favorite card out there. It is the best offer. The sign-up bonus right now is worth $1,000 towards travel, which is fantastic for a sign-up bonus. So let's say you sign up for that. It's like 80,000 points, which are worth 1.25 cents a piece, which equals $1,000. So you sign up for that card, you get card in the mail, you start trying to meet minimum spend, which all these cards, you don't get the bonus until you meet minimum spend. And this one's like $4,000 over 3 months. You can pay it off every month. You don't have to have a $4,000 balance.
Right.
You have to route $4,000 through it. But once you get that going, then you turn around and refer your spouse before the increased offer ends. They get the 80,000 points and $1,000. And then with that particular card, you'll get a kickback of 15,000 more points as because you referred them. So you wind up with a nice chunk of points with a good amount of value that you can use towards travel for many different airlines. And with Chase and these ultimate rewards that you earn, you can also use them for excursions, for condos, and then rental cars, and then of course hotels and flights or whatever. So you absolutely want to look at best offers out there, what brands are good for you, but then also how, again, back to how are you spending. For that particular card, it's really good for dining out. Like there's some other things too, but it's 3 points per dollar for dining out, which means, again, a point is not worth a percent. A point is worth 1.25 cents. So you're getting 3.75% back for dining out. So like even my husband has them memorized now. You know, it's always like, use the Chase Sapphire every time we're getting fast food, we're going to a nice restaurant, whatever. And then he knows, but that's not the card I use for gas. I go,
right.
Or a Hilton card for gas. Like, so there's always a strategy with that as well. Now, in what your listeners are using or doing with short-term rentals, there's a lot of opportunity for business cards too.
That was my next question.
I said, double the fun with your spouse. Well, let's just multiply that even more and sign up for those business cards too with these same programs. Almost every program, whether it's a bank card like a American Express membership rewards or a Chase Sapphire to earn ultimate rewards, those programs have business cards as well. And I have some of those too. So does my husband. You can earn those same type of points and combine them with the points that you're earning on your personal card. So
what?
This is how you do it. Like, because people, how much do you spend a year to earn that many points? Like once you've signed up for the card, and I'm like, you got to understand, like there's a lot involved. It's not
so
just
smart,
one
though.
Card and then you use it forever on just regular everyday expenses. And you're only earning 1 point per dollar. Like you'd never get anywhere with that. Mm-hmm. You don't stick with the same card. You get multiple cards for the same programs. And you also cycle through them that there's a point in time where you can actually cancel and requalify to get the card again. So again, there's a big strategy behind it, but you don't have to know all of that to start. Like right. I tell you, because then that's when people are like, okay, this is too much for me. And they're like, I can't follow this. But that's once you get into it and you get hooked.
Yeah.
And then you're like, where else can I get more of these points?
Well, I'm thinking we're going to be creating some beasts because like all of our listeners, like once you get into short-term rentals, it's addicting. Like you can't just have one short-term rental. You have multiple. Now I'm like, wait, we're going to start hanging out with people. They're just going to pull out all their cards. Like, well, from the Aunt Kara's episode, we now have all these cards. But yeah, you have a whole like, I mean, it's a whole nother world, but $87,000 worth of vacations. It's like, I think it's worth the time to invest in figuring it out. And sounds like it's fun, right? Is this like, it sounds like you and your husband kind of have like this game going on.
It is totally a game. And that's why it's addicting. It's not stressful. I mean, you're dealing with vacations. It's not like
right.
life or death stuff. It's not like, oh my gosh, if we can't figure this out, we can't, you know, do X and that's going to have some negative impact to our lives. Like it's all for good and for fun. Mm-hmm. And my big thing, people will talk to me about cashback cards versus travel. And they're like, well, why don't you just do cashback cards? I will continue to tell people that cashback cards will never be as lucrative mm-hmm. as travel point cards. I've never seen evidence that could be the case. There is no way that over the last 10 years, if I would have done cashback cards, I would have $87,000 in cash right. versus what I have for travel. Like their earning rates, the bonuses, the promotions, the additional ways you can earn these points through shopping portals, through all these other things to get even more points on top of just those like pure credit card points. You can't do that with cashback cards. There's not as many options. It's not as flexible. There's really a cap. I mean, in a lot of like, you can only get so much cash back and they run different promotions with certain types of purchases, but it's never as good. And I personally am very motivated. Like anytime I've had anything that was cash back related, like it hits your credit card, gives you a credit, or hits your bank account. And then suddenly it like dissolves, like it like, you know, just merges into the rest of your balance. And you're like, when did I ever use that $100 credit on? And you, with vacations and travel, you have something very concrete and tangible that you're working toward. You use, you experience when you're there and you're like, I cannot believe this hotel is free. I cannot believe we just flew here for free. And then you have that memory forever. And when you can share it with your friends, your family, it's like the most amazing thing. I mean, my kids are so spoiled and it makes me so happy to think about like all the awesome trips we've taken, all the memories we have. And, you know, they understand what I do with the points and miles. We've told them since they were little. I mean, they don't get it, but they do get it. And I think that's like, that's like something real and motivating that makes me want to just do it again. Like I want to have that experience again for them. And we wouldn't do the travel we do. I mean, because I am so financially focused, we would travel, we would vacation, but not to the extent we do now. I mean, we can pick up and go. And I'm like, where do you guys, like last summer, my son graduated from high school. I'm like, let's do a graduation trip. Like, where do you want to go? And he's like, I want to go to New York. I want to take my girlfriend. I want to be there for like a long weekend. I want to go see a Yankees game. It's like, had this whole thing. And I'm like, okay, like, I wouldn't just do that. I mean, you know, I wouldn't be spending that out of pocket. I'm like, we have tons of points because we didn't travel during COVID. So, okay. And I'm like, you guys are so spoiled, but it's, you know, it's just the neatest thing to do. And again, that keeps me going. Like, all right, what's next year's plan? What's the next year's plan? So,
yeah, you have a strong why behind it.
Something that I get asked about a lot. And I'm like,
okay,
I'm all about the travel.
Hey there, fellow hosts. Want to make your short-term rental feel like $1 million without breaking the bank?
You bet. That's where Manoan comes in. They've got deep discounts on over 100 amazing brands. Brands like Article, West Elm, Crate & Barrel, Pollywood, Wayfair, Parachute, and Fellow. Your guests will be swooning over the stylish furnishings, and you'll be grinning at the money you saved.
And here's the exciting news. Manoan just leveled up their platform. Now you can easily sort through their brands with improved browsing and filtering capabilities, including host favorites and unique finds. No more endlessly scrolling.
Plus, if you're a design-savvy host juggling multiple properties, Manoan has your back. You can tag quotes and orders by property so you can keep things organized like a pro.
And let's not forget, you can set up multiple properties under your one account. It's a breeze to manage them all in one place. Talk about convenience.
Oh, and customization is key. With Manoan, you can decide who gets email notifications for all of your quotes and order updates. No more inbox overload.
And also, of course, we cannot forget the most exciting thing about all of this. Manoan is 100% free for hosts. Yes, you've heard that right. There are no membership fees, no sneaky costs, just fabulous discounts and a stress-free experience.
So what are you waiting for? Don't waste another second. Go to ManoanExperience.com and sign up today. Your guests will thank you, your wallet will thank you, and we'll thank you for spreading the word.
Thanks for visiting the new Manoan.
Okay, so that's good to know.
In our industry, Aunt Kara, there are a lot of people that post on Instagram and YouTube. You know, we call them the gurus, right? And they tout, you know, leveraging 0% cards to set up your short-term rentals and to do these things. And I'll be honest, it gets me nervous for them because it's like, well, in the wrong hands or with the wrong strategy, that can be incredibly dangerous, you know, because they're waiting for their short-term rental business money to come in to pay off those cards. So what do you say to people when you're just, I don't know, like, what is your disclaimer? Like, what kind of mindset do you have to have so you don't get yourself into an incredible amount of debt or you have the wrong idea of, I mean, obviously, you only spend what you can pay off each month because you said you don't carry a balance. Is that the biggest tip you have? Or
yeah, I say you need to have the money before. If you don't have that same amount of money in your account, then then you shouldn't be putting it on a credit card. You know, I don't look at credit cards as loans. And I've said that repeatedly on Instagram too. It's just a stop. It's just a pit stop in you paying for something, you know, it's just an extra additional transaction, but you should be able to pay that off the same day you're charging that expense. I do get DMs. I just got one yesterday that was asking me about, are there any good 0% 12 month cards? And I go, I don't look at things that way. Like, that's not the way you should be looking at things. You shouldn't even care what the interest rate is. That's my big thing.
Ooh, and I posted that a couple
times. If you care about what the interest rate is, don't get into this.
Your mindset's probably not in the right place.
That's a
credit card interest rates are insanity. And if you aren't disciplined to pay those things off before or on the date they are due, do not get involved. Like, this isn't, it's too risky. I mean, even your explanation of doing that 0% and hoping you've got the money in your account by the time
it's terrifying,
you know, you actually have to start paying interest on a card that you can pay it off. I mean, I'm not a big risk taker. Like, people act like travel hacking is risky, and it's not when you do it responsibly. If you can stay organized, stay on top of everything, have the money in your account, you know, that's how you use cards. You want to win the game. You know, banks are betting that you're going to get into more debt. You're not going to be able to pay it off. You're going to use it as a loan. You're not going to be able to fight the temptation of going, oh my gosh, I have a $10,000 credit limit. I can go buy more of this. I can buy something that's nicer than I would have otherwise. And a lot of people fall into that trap. Those people should not be involved in points and miles and travel hacking and getting cards for this. So that's definitely my money mindset. You have to be financially responsible. If you have any credit card debt, I've told people, I'm kind of blunt, and I do this in that live stream that I share with people. If you have any credit card debt right now, don't get into this. Just wait till your credit card debt is done. Get your system together with being able to, I mean, I know people who pay off their card like the day after they charge something. Some people pay it every Friday. Some people pay their credit cards on their payday. They don't wait for the bill to come. They want it out of their account. We do that with big purchases. Like, every day, the normal expenses, groceries, like you said, some utilities, like you can pay your cell phone bill on a credit card. You can pay your cable and internet on a credit card. You can pay streaming services. You don't have to connect these directly to your checking account. Those I wait till the end of the month because they're budgeted for. They're not variable expenses. We know how much we're going to pay. But when it's a big purchase that we're going to do, I hate that lingering out. And so I tell people my last big purchase was Invisalign. It was $6,000. I had it saved up. I got a new card, swiped it at the orthodontist. It showed up online. And the next day I, you know, sent a payment from my bank account, paid that thing off. And I'm like, now I'm done. And I just got a huge signup bonus and tons of points to spend. So it's something you have to like be very conscious about and not go, oh, well, I'll worry about that later because the bill's not due yet. So that's the whole tie-in with the money and the credit cards and the points. I mean, I feel like everything has to, you know, go hand in hand with that.
This is not a loan. Yeah. I think that's like the big takeaway too from your explanation.
And I think, listeners, that's why we chose in like Aunt Kara to have on the show, because I actually follow a lot of different travel hackers, I'll be honest. And I love where she comes from with all of it. It's really just that why with her family vacations. And obviously she goes through a lot of all of her, she's very transparent on her feed about, you know, all of her expenses, not just the travel that she does. So, so here's the other thing. And we'll, it's so funny because for Sarah and I, our business together, we spend a decent amount of money each month and we're always like, oh, we should have a credit card. But when we got started, when we first started our business, we were like, we knew that was something out there and we were like, we're not going to do it. Like, I think it like, you know, it's fun for you to do the travel hacking. And when we first got started, it's like, that's not fun because we didn't know what we were going to be bringing in.
Well, we didn't have any money coming in the business yet.
Right.
We didn't even want to have it like tempt us to put stuff on it that we couldn't like support. But now, you know, we go on some business trips to like vacation rental, what do I want to say?
Go to conferences.
And we're like, oh my gosh, we just spent XYZ on the travel, like our airline tickets, our food. And we're like, we should be using, we're at the point now we're like, okay, we've got to start using points for some of this.
Well, we started
stuff,
a business without getting into any debt. We now have a really healthy financial, you know, we have a bookkeeper. She gives us our P&L each month. We either hit our budget or we don't. We've only been hitting it. It's been great. And so now we feel the time that, okay, our mindset is right. We know what's coming in, what's going out. And so now the right time. Kara, can you talk to us about when you sign up for a credit card, there is a soft hit on your credit score, correct? And then is that, does that concern you at all? Or what do you tell people when they ask that question?
And I wouldn't call it a soft hit. I mean, it's a full credit pull. And that's a big concern with people that I have to continue to address. Mm-hmm. And I understand why. And that's one of the perceptions that where people will hesitate and say, well, I think it's just, how do you have 8 cards and you sign up for a couple cards every year? Doesn't that kill your credit score? I have a good diagram out there and I don't have it completely memorized, but when it comes to your credit score or your FICO score, there are so many components to it. Opening and closing credit cards is just one aspect. Okay. So, and that's what people are really focused on, like the opening and closing, but understand the value of credit cards to building your credit score itself and help strengthening your credit score when you have a credit extended to you and you have low utilization of that because you're paying off your cards every month. When you pay your cards on time, the fact that you've had cards, like I've had that one for 25 years, I now have 25 years of credit history. The weight of those type of things is so heavy. I don't have all the percentages memorized, but I have them out there and you can Google it pretty easily. The opening and closing of credit cards is like 10% of the 100%, you know, of all the different things that contribute to your credit score, you know, your credit mix, secured loans, unsecured loans. And again, on-time payments, credit utilization, credit history. Like there's these things that weigh so much more heavily than opening and closing. So if you open a card and you're responsible with that card, then there's not any issue. It's only going to help long-term. Is there a short-term ding to your credit score? Absolutely. But like in my experience, I don't know that I've ever seen more than like 4 points, like it go down. And then it is exact. I don't even know if it's gone 4. I mean, I feel like lately it's only like 3 points and then it goes back up within 3 months. So 3 months, you'll go look it up again. And it's like, it's right back where it was because I've paid those cards on time. I paid them in full. I haven't hit my, you know, credit utilization. And so it's not a long-term effect. Now, if you start messing around and not paying stuff on time and paying late fees and whatever else, then you're going to mess up your credit score. But it had nothing to do with the opening and closing.
Right.
It's really the use that is, can be the negative impact. I will say though, because you have people that are buying short-term rentals, you don't want to mess with credit cards. If you are in the midst of purchasing your next property, mm-hmm. you're going to have to get financing. You don't want to jeopardize or have any red flags for that right before you're trying to get this house. Like everybody, and you know, I talk to a lot of people who are like, you know, buying a new home, not necessarily for an investment, but for themselves. And I'm like, yes, don't open up this credit card until after you close, mm-hmm. not after you get approved, after you close. That's when you're free to go. Open your credit card after that, but don't do it right before. And my husband, I didn't mention the fact that I've got 2 kids, my husband of 27 years or whatever too. He was a mortgage broker for like 10 years. So we know things about credit scores inside and out. And I even still bounce things off of him because he knows it all. And he's a real estate agent now, and he has been for like the last 15 years. And so we talk about that all the time. So I try to stress that. And especially again, with your audience, you don't want to do any of these transactions, you know, in the few months before you're getting ready to buy or close on a new property. So I want to put that disclaimer out there.
Well, and let's help our audience in, Kara. So what do you normally see? Let's say they close on their new short-term rental. What do you normally see the turnaround time if they were to apply the next day? How long does it usually take for them to get this, to get their cards up and running? I mean, it's pretty much immediate, right?
Oh, yeah. And here's another thing too. So yeah, when you apply, so all these cards you can apply for online, you don't have to go into a bank or anything like that. You either get a message that you were denied, approved, or needs further review or pending. right? So those are the messages that'll come up on your screen. You never need to panic if it says it's pending or needs further review. I know like a lot of people, including myself, will be like all offended and go, how could you not approve me? I mean, like I'm the most financially responsible person ever. So I even get offended. But it is very easy, and you can Google the customer service number to call in to, they call them reconsideration lines. Like even though they didn't deny you, it's still called reconsideration. And I call in because it drives me nuts if it says, if I don't get approved right away, because that's just how I am. And I call in and say to these 800 numbers, the customer service numbers, and say, you know, do you need further information for me to be approved? Is there something I can do? And it's been really interesting because there are many people who, as soon as, I mean, when I do that, a lot of times it's like, they look through it again. Sometimes it's, you have to shift, like if, say I'm calling into Chase and they're like, well, you have a $10,000 credit limit or a $20,000 credit limit on this. We can't extend you that much more. Can we shift some of that to another card? Well, I don't care because I don't have any balances on any of these. So I don't care really where it is. And they're like, okay, we'll just take $5,000 off that and put it on the new card. And now you're approved.
It's and just that way you get the points for opening the new card.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Okay. You get the points when you meet minimum spend.
Gotcha. Okay.
You don't get the points the day you're approved. Okay. But those little glitches of why you might not be approved right away could be they don't want to extend you more credit, but they're willing to move credit. So you need to call and give them approval to do that. Or it could be that I've had multiple people, especially during COVID when people just weren't buying as much stuff, that they'll put a freeze on their credit and totally forget. Like, and I don't really do that. And that's a personal choice to like for protection, for like fraud and all this stuff. So people will say that they get notified or they get denied if anybody, in case someone gets a hold of their information and tries to open up a credit card in their name. And they did it like 2 years ago, haven't opened up any new cards. They go apply for a card and it's like further review pending. And they call in, they're like, why? And they're like, we have a freeze on your credit. Oh, release the freeze. I forgot about that. I've had so many people tell me that. They're like, thank goodness I called, or else they would have eventually like just denied me. So some people go into this review mode, and I always say, just call in. Some people get denied. I still call in if you get denied and understand why. Mm-hmm. And then they'll usually explain whatever reason it is. And then, there's other times where it's just, you know, you're approved instantly. The card comes in the mail 7 to 10 days. You're good to go. You want to go meet that minimum spend, pay the annual fee. They always ask for the annual fee in the first month. And then you suddenly have a nice chunk of points to spend however you want.
Awesome.
So that's kind of the process. But I did want to hit on the whole review because so many people go to that status and ask, what do I do? And they wait like 2 weeks and they're like, it said they'd send me an email and let me know. And I'm like, don't wait for the email. Just call.
Okay. Yeah. That's great. I didn't know that either.
Full transparency, Annette and I after this call are probably going to go.
Yeah, we're like, oh my gosh.
How can we travel hack the way out of our, we eat out a whole lot. So.
Oh yeah.
We're missing out on a lot of points there. But so
yeah, the Sapphire is a really good one for Duncan. So
we're going to have to check it out. So what would you say, Carrie, you've given us so much. I mean, I don't know. We're taking notes. We have so much that's going on in our minds. What's one key takeaway that you can give our audience before we wrap the show up of like, what do you think is the key to travel hacking?
I just think that knowing what you're working towards and having that goal in mind. And when I say goal, that travel goal. So think creatively, like what, you know, and realistically, where would you be going in the next year, year and a half, right? And all the research you can do up front to figure out how many points is it going to take, what airlines, what hotels, that you don't need to sign up for a credit card to do that research. You can search any airline, any hotel, check the points box and find out how many points per night you need. So you have this very specific goal that you're working towards. And maybe you realize, well, I can't pay 100% of the trip, but I could get half of it paid for. But that's probably all I could realistically do before we actually have to take the trip. You know, that's fine in itself too. You don't have to pay for 100% of all of this to make it happen. Any, you know, this is real money. So the less you spend, you know, the more you have to save or use on the trip itself. So I say, come up with the goal, do the research, and then select your cards that align with that. What cards are the best cards to earn those type of points? That's awesome. Like my number one tip.
Oh, we love that. Awesome. So Aunt Kara, where can, if people are now like really interested in all of this, where is the best way to follow you? Is it on Instagram, do you think?
Yeah, Instagram is my main platform, and it's aunt.kara is my Instagram account.
With a K, by the way. We'll make sure it's linked.
Oh yeah, yeah. Thank you. And then you know, you can DM me. You can also email me. My email link is in my Instagram account. Then I also have a website, auntkara.com. I'm not as active on that, but when there are big travel announcements, like with travel hacking, I do write blog posts and put them out there. There's a good one on the Chase Sapphire Preferred right now. So you can, you know, find me there as well. I talk a little bit about personal finance on there too, but most of my more recent content is on travel hacking. So those are the key places to find me. And I'm pretty responsive, especially on the weekends for my DMs. Yeah.
Awesome. Amazing. Well, we are so thankful for your time. Hopefully we'll have lots of our listeners going on vacations and have you to thank for that.
Yes. So. All right, listeners, awesome. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant. And together we are.
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.